There it is. Let me get it. All right, here we go. Okay, so that was that was "Born Free" by Kid Rock, and it's kind of a funny story because I thought a little while ago I thought, well, what song should I play? You know, no, I want to open with a song. What song should I play? And I heard Born Free, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm not playing Born Free. I don't even like that song. Of course, I'm thinking of the Andy Williams song from the movie about the lions or whatever. But my journaling this morning was just about that, really, not making plans for myself, not listening, just asking, and the answer would appear. So I asked the question, what song should I play? And I got Born Free. So then I went online and to get the song and saw that Kid Rock had a version. I'm like, that's got to be better than Andy Williams, right? Well, of course, it's a different song. Yeah, Born Free, Free as the Wind Blows. Oh, sorry, Cheryl. Cheryl says she cries every time she hears the other version. Cheryl's also noted here, she could see me singing this Kid Rock song on my way to Colorado. But I was just, you know, it's funny because I said, I got the guidance, and then I went, ooh, I don't like that guidance. And so it's just really funny to see it turn out the way it did. Cheryl mentioned that she liked the lyrics, and I wanted to, after I looked up the lyrics, share them with you guys. So I'll do that. The Born Free lyrics from Kid Rock. It says, fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free, born free. Free like a river raging, strong as the wind I'm facing. I like that. Free like a river raging, strong as the wind I'm facing. Chasing dreams and racing father time. Deep like the grandest canyon, wild like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind. You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free, I was born free, I was born free, born free. And I'm not good at long goodbyes, but look deep down deep into my eyes, I was born free. Calm, facing danger, lost like an unknown stranger, grateful for my time with no regrets. Close to my destination, tired, frail, and aching, waiting patiently for the sun to set. And when it's done, believe that I will yell it from that mountain high, I was born free, I was born free, I was born free, born free. I will bow to the shining sea and celebrate God's grace on me. So, yeah, pretty good lyrics, pretty good song. Well done, Holy Spirit. That was kind of kind of a testament to really what Holy Spirit said to me this morning. And I have a couple of journal entries, and I kind of chuckled when I heard Ann sharing a while ago, and she was saying that, you know, that she told Kate that she was doing so well she hadn't been journaling, and Kate said, well, you know, maybe you ought to keep your foot on the pedal. But my journaling has seemed to have diminished with, you know, I told you guys about it. All I quote unquote have going on, but but there's a couple here that I would like to share with you, and I'm going to read them both. One was written last week, and one this morning, and but they seem to be a pair. So here we go. This is on 66, Thoughts of Awakening 66. Every idea that seems to cause you fear or pain is a thought within your mind. There isn't one single exception. A thought that isn't in your mind is unknown to you. And I realized, I realized that I didn't stop and say a prayer. And I'm going to take the opportunity to do that now because it did come into my mind. So, let's just let's just be quiet for a minute before we get started and see what prayer comes. Yeah, and what comes the moment I close my eyes and set the intention to be still is just immense gratitude. And, you know, just like Kid Rock said in his song, you know, no regrets. I've been where I've been. I'm going where I'm going. And there's just absolutely no regrets. And I'm just so grateful for every single step along this path. I invite Inner Wisdom, Holy Spirit, to be here with us now. So that we can see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear. Amen. So, again, 66 was the thought of the day. Every idea that seems to cause you fear or pain is a thought within your mind. There isn't one single exception. A thought that isn't in your mind is unknown to you. And I wrote, Father, I can see that this thought of awakening is right on time, but I still have a fear and doubt about my upcoming move. Everyone around me is suggesting that I can still change my mind and stay where I am. These thoughts seem very attractive and seem to offer safety and security. I am afraid that I have simply made up a story about having guidance to leave all that is familiar, and that the only reason I'm doing it is because I said I would. I have had this experience in the past, claiming something was guidance, following it stubbornly and blindly, and then later realizing it might not have been guidance at all, but a very long detour away from what I wanted or needed. How can I be sure that this is guidance? How can I be sure that I'm doing what I am to do? I feel I cannot get an answer because I'm making this whole journaling with Inner Wisdom up as well. I don't know where to start, which of course, as we all know, I don't know is an excellent place to start. The answer, you are not alone. Every step you take falls within the guidance that I offer. All missteps are corrected for, and so cannot be seen as roadblocks. They are rather learning devices. Ask your heart what you are to do rather than your fear. Your heart will guide you truly. You picture yourself as alone, lonely, and friendless if you move to Colorado. That picture is a projection of the fear in the mind. As such, it need not be heeded. Fear is never useful as a guide. Ask yourself what it is you truly want. Do you really want safety and security and the comfort of familiarity? Or do you want to be healed of the fears that seem to drive your thoughts and actions? You are free to stay in the familiar, but know you have experiences with following that impulse as well. Your fear is as much about choosing wrongly as it is about the specific choice that you are to make at this time. You know, it's interesting. That's a really good point because it's funny when we were, you know, working to get things done here at the condo and get it ready for sale. I was enjoying doing that, you know, painting and I got to fix this little window and da 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 da, all these little things we were doing, and that was actually the good part. It was when I was asked to make any decision that my mind was going absolutely. Well, I won't use that word. That's a cuss word. Absolutely monkey mind. I mean, I was just like sent into a tizzy when I was asked to make a decision like, what do you want for dinner? I mean, I just seemed not to be able to make any decision about anything. Yeah, bonkers is a good word. But just the simple task, you know, just working with my hands and doing things around here that needed to be done, that was comforting. But it's interesting to see inner wisdom hone right in on that. Your fear is as much about choosing wrongly as it is about the specific choice you are to make at this time. And that was the fear that I was experiencing in every area that I looked, in every time I was asked to make a decision. I was afraid of choosing wrongly. Inner wisdom says, your underlying fear is that all is not well, that there is no benevolent force in the universe, that you are separate and alone, in sum, that the truth is not true. Yeah, Kathy makes a good point. You can see the results when you do a hands-on, right? Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, that turned out great. Immediate results. Thank you for that confirmation, right? But yeah, it's this idea that, first of all, it's interesting that Holy Spirit got right to this, in some, the fear is that the truth is not true. It's interesting also because Regina had a tip that same week that said something of when she was talking about the new habits, the seven new habits, that one of them was know that all is well and that there is a benevolent force in the universe or something to that. That's a bad paraphrase, I know, but something to that effect. And I was, frankly, surprised to see it there. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Because I think, I you guys know that I struggled with this idea of the nature of the isness that is, right? The nature of being. Because I had set it up in my mind that there was a benevolent, if not force, I think, you know, my thoughts had been along the line of really there's some type of entity. For many, many years, there was a thought that there's some benevolent entity who was, you know, arranging everything. And, well, intellectually, at least, I was willing to move that to, you know, a benevolent universe. That was the struggle was, that was part of the struggle. The one insight that came, or an insight that came, was that, you know, this is not somebody looking out for, you know, the character of Jacqueline. Even if there is a benevolent force, it doesn't mean that, you know, things will, quote unquote, go well, for Jacqueline. And so, you know, so I was able to shed some of that, the stickiness of that, you know, this need to have Jacqueline succeed. Or I was in the process of doing that. I say I was able to shed it. Well, I don't know, but it's a process. I think that. Oh, thank you. Kathy, yeah, so I must be, Kathy has cited the seven steps that Regina has been teaching. Acknowledge you are sick, remember your desire to be healed, turn to your willingness to be healed, give up symptoms of sickness, trust your willingness. So it must be, so I don't see anything in there about benevolence, but there was something in one of those tips about there being a benevolent force. So I think that as I came out of that long dark night of the soul, that turbulent period for my foundational beliefs, I think that I overcompensated, you know, that the mind had worked this out. The thinking mind had worked this out so that I was willing to give up the belief that there was a benevolent force. And so then when I saw it in Regina's tip, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Didn't I just give up that belief? You know? So so it was a little surprising to see it show up again here. In this writing, and I think this is I think this is likely multi-layered, deeper than it appears and has appeared to me on writing it or on rereading it a couple times. So I'm going to read it again and just you know, open to what it's really saying and what's, you know, what's really going on here. It says, your underlying fear is that all is not well, that there is no benevolent force in the universe. So you can see, so I can see, that these ideas are still intertwined somehow in my mind. So, you know, I want to just reject the whole thing, the whole idea. So if I got to kick out the idea that there's a benevolent force in the universe, then I want to kick out with it the idea that all is well. You know, it's a zero-sum game. It's all or nothing. Now, part of what I experienced during this time was we, you know, we watched the movie together. We watched Bagger Vance, and I just really got from and it was and that was right on time. I just really got from that and from Floyd Henderson's teaching. You know, this and Regina has talked about it. This idea of nature. You know, just this natural force that we are and that guides all of life. But I still had not, you know, and that I could align myself with this force, and instead of resisting it, right? And that was at least the key to alleviate suffering. But I still had not gotten to the idea that it was a benevolent force. And so I just want to take a second here to look that up and see benevolent definition. Well-meaning and kindly. Interesting. Let me get a little bit more full definition. Regina says, the benevolent force is the natural outcome of higher vibration manifested through the creative principle. Thank you, Regina. Again, Regina says, the benevolent force is the natural outcome of higher vibration manifested through the creative principle. Yeah, what we've been learning, right? You keep choosing the higher vibration. And basically, this is the natural outcome of that choice for the higher vibration. To choose the higher vibrational thought at every moment. And it's the natural outcome. So that is benevolence, right? I mean, that's the force. It's not like there's something outside guiding me. It's the natural outcome of making that higher choice. Thank you, Regina, for pointing that out. Yeah. So that is finding that feel that I looked at in Bagger Vance, and aligning myself with the field. And that only makes sense, of course. It's like the suffering that seems to appear in the world, and the suffering that seems to be perpetuated by me and by my thoughts about the world, as I make higher choices and quit participating in the lower vibrational choices, then that suffering would begin to drop away, not only for me, this seeming character, but for the one mind. So the writing again says your underlying fear is that inner wisdom says your underlying fear is that all is not well, that there is no benevolent force in the universe, that you are separate and alone in some, that the truth is not true. Yeah, so it's just good to see. Sorry for the silence, but it's just good to see how all this comes together. And I'm really grateful to Regina for texting that to me, because I can see that I was still wanting for there to be a separate force. I mean, again, called universe or whatever, that's got this. But it's not a separate force. It's not separate from me. It's not separate from the choices that I make. It's a natural result of the higher vibrational choices that I make. That's good news. So let me go back to the reading for I mean sorry, to inner wisdom, what else inner wisdom had to say on that day when I was dealing with this fear, stemming from the underlying fear, the foundational fear that all is not well, that there is no benevolent force, that the truth is not true. Holy Spirit says, would you stay in whatever circumstances or place that do not allow that doubt that the truth is not true? Would you stay in whatever circumstances or place that do not allow that doubt to rise and be healed? Or would you give that doubt to be healed and step forward on the path you have chosen in the faith that all is well, that it is impossible for you to be alone, and that only healing can result from all your choices made without fear's counsel? Only healing can result from all your choices made without fear's counsel. The higher vibrational choices, right? I mean, really, those are the only two choices. We know this. Love or fear? Love or fear? Those are my two choices. You can say higher vibration, lower vibration. Love or fear? And that it is impossible that I be alone, that only healing can result from all my choices made without fear's counsel. Holy Spirit says, there is nothing to fear. Only by choosing this knowledge will you realize its truth. Remember to rest with me when fear whispers to you. Together, we will let the fear go and continue the journey unto your truth. Blessings. Wow, that went to a place I didn't know we were going. It was good though. All right, and now let me. Yeah, and I'm frankly, I'm gonna have to just really, because I am hearing this differently than I heard it before, and yeah, so I'm just gonna kind of let that marinate. It's good stuff, but I need to let it marinate, I think, before I have anything else to say about that. So I'm gonna look at this other. I think I'm gonna look at this other journal entry. 71. That's this morning. Trust the awakening process. It is what it may not always seem to be. Isn't that a funny way of saying that? I mean, because what I thought it said, and I didn't even realize that it was worded kind of funny in my mind until I wrote it down on this page before I started journaling. Because what the phrase that we're used to hearing, that I'm used to hearing, is it is not what it seems to be. It may not be what it seems to be. So it's just funny the way this is phrased. It is what it may not always seem to be. Yeah. It is what it may not always seem to be. Interesting. So I asked, what would you have me see in this quote or in me? And immediately I felt joy. I mean, just immediately. But it was like that bolt of lightning we had last night when we were teaching. It was just a flash, and then it was gone. But I felt joy in my heart. And Holy Spirit spoke to that. The joy you feel in your heart, however fleeting, is your guide to the truth of your being. It is your joy that can be trusted. Learn to look for that which activates that feeling within. You know intuitively that that feeling is not connected to external circumstances. Rather, it is an acknowledgement of your willingness to step forward ahead of the fear that has seemed to act as your guide until now. This is the feeling of freedom. Of course, now I'm struck by the perfection of the song that the Holy Spirit chose for this particular program. So, let me start that thought again. Yeah, that sense of happiness that does not depend upon anything. Yeah, we talked about that with Rupert Spira last week in Gentle Healing. And I've heard Kathy talk about it since, certainly. Again, you know intuitively that that feeling, that joy, you know intuitively that that feeling is not connected to external circumstances. Rather, it is an acknowledgement of your willingness to step forward ahead of the fear that has seemed to act as your guide until now. This is the feeling of freedom. Freedom to follow and do and be as I ask. And there's a couple of things there that are really interesting. To step ahead of the freedom is, I mean, excuse me, to step ahead of the fear is, it's just really interesting way of putting that. It's not like battling the fear or pushing the fear out of the way or, but to step ahead of the fear, right? Before the fear ever even sets in, step ahead of the fear, by finding that joy within yourself. It's just really, really, really cool. I love the way that's said. The joy is an acknowledgement of my willingness to step forward ahead of that fear. And then again, this is the feeling of freedom, freedom to follow and do and be as I ask, which is again kind of funny because it's like, well, the confused mind does not see freedom as freedom to follow, right? Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like freedom. That sounds like, yes sir, no sir. That sounds like I'm not getting freedom. That sounds like I'm giving up my freedom, my free will to do what I would do. But, that's because yeah, subservient. Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, that sounds like subservience. It doesn't sound like freedom, but that is where the freedom is. That's where I find my freedom, is in following and doing and being as inner wisdom or Holy Spirit would have me do and be. Yeah, it's just there's a whole lot packed in that little sentence. This is the feeling of freedom, freedom to follow and do and be as I ask. So, yes, I choose the second place to gain the first, Kathy says. Exactly. Yeah, well, and then, of course, I missed that entirely when I wrote it, because I want to start arguing with Holy Spirit about a part of the sentence that I didn't even bother to read just this minute, because when I was rereading it here, I didn't emphasize. But at that time, ego want to go, wait a minute, because my willingness to step forward ahead of the fear that has served to act as your guide until now. So I want to argue with that part of the sentence. And it says that you would argue that you have not been following fear until now, but your agreement or assessment of the past is neither necessary nor relevant to the path on which we have now embarked. It's just funny to got smacked down there a little bit. It's lovingly so, right? But it's really funny to hear. It's like, that's just a distraction. Let that go. You do not know, Kathy says. Yeah, I hear that too. You do not know. Very good. Your agreement or assessment of the past is neither necessary nor relevant to the path on which we have now embarked. What joy there is to be found here. Let me lead you consistently by practicing all that I would teach you. Conform your ways to me. I will lead you truly. And you got to know that resonates because I can't even get the sentence out of my mouth, right? And we watch these movies and we're like, what character reminded you of the Holy Spirit and what are the characteristics that make you say that? And it's because Holy Spirit never goes, look, this is what we're doing, right? even when Holy Spirit inner wisdom got a little strong a moment ago and went, stop thinking about the past. It's not even relevant. But this is so, so, so sweet. These words are so sweet. It doesn't say, if you do this, then you. No, it says, let me. Please. It didn't say please, but that's the tenor, right? Let me lead you. Let me lead you consistently by practicing all that I would teach you. Conform your ways to me. I will lead you truly. So I'm still arguing. And I say, what of planning? How am I to know what is my next priority? And this, you know, this kind of goes back to, you know, I got paperwork on the estate. I got paperwork on the sale of that other house. There's lots to be done. Seemingly more than, you know, so what do I do next? What's the priority? It all seems, blah, 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 blah. You can hear just mine just went off, spinning out. So I say, what if planning? How am I to know what is my next priority? Holy Spirit says, your job is simply to ask. What you are to do will be given you, as with all things you seem to need on the journey with me. Remember that all answers lie within. The rules of the world, as you have written them, are based on the fears within the mind. As such, they offer you no solace, no real security, no true answers. So, yeah, I mean, that's just me, you know, the way I've got this set up. Yeah, but if I don't do this then, you know, this awful thing will happen and da-da-da-da-da, you know. So I've made all this up, but it's all based on fear. Every bit of it, every rule that I think needs to be followed, you ask me the situation, I'll give you the rule. You know, when your friend calls, how soon are you supposed to call back? Right? I'll give you the rule. But it's based on fear. You know. If you call your lawyer, how soon should your lawyer call you back? I mean, whatever the situation. Should I take a bath before I make dinner? Well, you know, the answers to that, the rule, whether it's a rule made up in the moment or, you know, something more seemingly more solid, seemingly more applicable to more situations, that's based on fear as well. I mean, it just simply is. You know, oh, well, I wouldn't want Tom to think that, you know, I wasn't thinking about him before I thought about myself. So if I'm not going to make dinner before I take a bath, then I at least need to say, hey, I'm going to take a bath and then I'll make dinner if that's okay with you or whatever. I mean, that's the way it goes. And all these little bitty decisions, seemingly little bitty decisions, right? They're all based on fear. I mean, they would have to be, right? Love or fear, love or fear. Higher vibration, lower vibration. You know, what have I been using to organize my world? You know, do I call the realtor first, or do I let this person look at the house? Do I set the price for the condo at this price, or do I set it at that price? I mean, I'm trying to do, and that's why, and I see this, interestingly, now, on sharing it with you guys, that, you know, that's why the mind just goes into a tizzy, because fear's going, well, you know, if you do this, then that's going to be messed up, and if you do that, then, whoa, you better watch out, because that's going to be messed up. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. With fear, there it's a no-win situation. Kathy says she has a poster with a 50s mom holding a roast, and the bubble above her head says, "The secret ingredient is resentment." Yeah, it makes me laugh too. That's great. And you know, and I appreciate you bringing up that word, because I can tell you that this is another excellent point. And I was sharing with Connie the other day that and maybe with Anne as well, but excuse me, that since Tom and I have decided to divorce, we've been getting along great. We have been getting along fabulously. I love you. I love you too. I mean, it's like, it's not like we're pretending that we don't love each other. But it's the resentment that seems to have been lifted. And so that resentment poster is right on time as well, because it's all the same thing. The only reason that I would resent you is if I feel like I'm having to do something or else, right? Fear would counsel me, do it this way or else. And so I do it this way, but I resent even if it's not, on a level that I can actually see that I'm resenting it, if I'm doing it based on the counsel of fear, on the advice of fear, then I'm going to resent it at some level. Wow. So, yeah, I'm going to start again at the top of that paragraph to bring this into context. I had said, what of planning? How am I to know what is my next priority? Your job is simply to ask. What you are to do will be given you, as with all things you seem to need on the journey with me. Remember that all answers lie within. The rules of the world, as you have written them, are based on the fears within the mind. As such, they offer you no solace, no real security, no true answers. Be willing to ask the thoughts you find within the mind, who has sent them? Is it the joy of following me found within the heart, or is it the tyranny of fear found within the illusion of the mind? Found there by the fear you have attempted to use to protect yourself from consequences you have imagined. Let me remind you, as often as you need, there is nothing to fear. There is no price to be paid for your dark imaginings. Isn't that something? You need no longer look to your fear as motivation for what you are to do. And had you asked me, I don't know, I was going to say last week, had you asked me an hour ago if fear was a motivator for me, or if that was my primary, sure. I would have said, sure, give me a severe enough fear, it'll motivate me to do something. But I would not have said that fear was my primary motivator for my actions. I wouldn't have said that in a million years. But talking here with you guys now, I can really see how that has worked, or not worked, how that has operated in everything that I do. Let me remind you, as often as you need, there is nothing to fear. There is no price to be paid for your dark imaginings. You need no longer look to your fear as motivation for what you are to do. I am here, and I will guide you. Ask, and guidance will be given you. Trust in all that we are. Blessings to you in your joy for the truth. Freedom, right? Freedom. So, you know what I'm going to do now? I am going to go get another song. Play that. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here and share with you guys. Here we go. Here's the song. Oh, that might not be what I thought I had. Maybe it is. Here it is. It's the one we picked. Okay, guys, I see that my time's up, so I won't take anyone else's time. That's a lovely version. I love you guys. I'm so grateful to be here and learn the things that I do when I'm with you. Okay, see you next time.